Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
During the federal government shutdown, this website will not be updated and may not reflect current conditions. Some national parks may remain accessible to visitors. However, access may change without notice. Some parks are closed completely. Some visitors' services may be available when provided by concessioners or other entities. For most parks, there will be no National Park Service provided visitor services such as restrooms, trash collections, facilities, or road maintenance. For more information, see www.doi.gov/shutdown and the park website. So, Mike, happy holidays. The government is shut down.
Happy holidays. And peace on earth and goodwill towards men.
And women.
And women, right.
And all those in between.
And all those in between.
Quickly, how was your holidays?
They were great. Quick as usual. I feel like as you get older, things just kind of fly by. It was really quiet and it was good. What about yourself?
It was lovely too. I spent a lot of time with my family down in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. and then also in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Yeah, so you did some traveling. How was that?
Well, it was a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, I flew down to Birmingham and then I was there for a number of days and then I drove the 4.5 hours down to Gulfport.
Right.
Was there for basically 24 hours and then I drove back to Birmingham and flew out of Birmingham.
Yeah, that is a lot.
So it was a lot.
Yeah.
But it is always worth it to see my family.
Right, to be close to those that are near and dear.
Because they are the greatest.
Yeah.
I adore them.
Yeah.
Do you know what Santa Claus brought me?
What did he bring you?
He brought me John Muir's Our National Parks.
Oh, well, isn't that a coincidence?
Why is that?
Because I also got a copy of that.
Oh,
which
did
is,
you?
I think our friends and family just know us very well.
They do.
Yeah.
For Christmas this year, I asked Santa Claus for a wooden bowl and a funnel.
Ooh,
good for funneling. It's a very delicious dish from Saturday Night Live.
Which
right
we
now.
Often feel like we're doing
but
here.
But to read John Muir's Our National Parks, I'm very excited to read
yes,
that.
Yes, me too.
I also got a book about how to read nature signs.
Oh.
As in, like, when you're outside and on a trail, like, how to be able to tell, like, which direction is which based on plants.
That's great.
Or how to tell what the weather is about to do based on different patterns.
That's awesome.
Of the wind. So
these are good things to bring along. I feel like there will be some dramatic car readings of John Muir's book.
Oh, without
a doubt. Like book on tape with me flustering through every word because I am a consummate reader, but reading aloud, sometimes I fumble.
Well, also, very much like, you know, how when we were in the Smoky Mountains and the mist made everything sort of move, I feel like exhaustion makes letters on pages just move and suddenly say things that aren't written there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of our national parks, the theme of today's Trail Mix is the government shutdown and how it is affecting our national parks. Why is the government shut down? In short, Congress must pass the annual budget. Included in this year's budget was a provision to include funds for the Mexican border wall. According to the Washington Post, a Trump-backed spending bill passed by House Republicans on December 21st included more than $5 billion in border security funding that could be spent on a wall. But that measure has not gotten traction in the Senate, where Democrats have stood firm on holding wall funding to the current $1.3 billion level. Thus, the budget did not get voted on, and therefore, if that doesn't happen, we are in government shutdown. And this shutdown is affecting many offices of the federal government.
So the offices that are actually shut down are Commerce, Agriculture, Interior, Homeland Security, and parts of the Justice Department, as well as Housing and Urban Development, State Transportation, and Treasury. So it is actually a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a lot to me.
And believe it or not, it's about 800,000 federal employees are going to be furloughed or forced to work without pay until the standoff is fixed.
So,
or resolved, I should
say. So there
we
go. Yeah. So today is all about how this government shutdown is affecting our national parks.
Right.
I feel like in order for us to understand how it is affecting the National Park Service.
Right, how great the impact is.
We should first outline exactly what the National Park Service does.
Great.
The National Park Service was established on August 25th, 1916. It is an agency of the federal government. It is under the U.S. Department of Interior. Mm-hmm. The National Park Service was created as part of the National Park Service Organic Act. It was created after Yellowstone and Yosemite National Parks were both created because they needed some sort of way to oversee them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was John Muir and Teddy Roosevelt that had a pretty heavy hand in the crafting of everything
Absolutely.
For the national parks.
Yes.
As our book will probably tell
us.
That we'll read.
I think it is important to know or to share what is the mission statement of the National Park Service.
Great.
So the mission statement, as stated in the Organic Act of 1916, the National Park Service's mission is to preserve unimpaired the natural and cultural resources and values of the National Park System for the enjoyment, education, and inspiration for this and future generations.
If you've never been to a national park and you're just listening to our podcast, drop everything, well, obviously, and get there when you can.
Well, you can't right now.
Right. Well, you can.
You can, and we'll talk a little bit about how that is.
But I mean, it's a stupendous, unbelievable way to see preserved natural beauty that our country has to offer.
The national park system in America has been called America's greatest idea or America's best idea. I do agree. At the end of the day, I do feel like the natural world is the thing that will connect us beyond our political boundaries or our disagreements. Like, we can both come together and enjoy the beauty that has been preserved.
Yes, I totally 100% agree with that.
So let's talk about what the National Park System oversees. The National Park System covers 84.7 million acres of land.
That's crazy.
And is comprised of 417 sites. Now, not all the sites are the same. They have different designations.
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about those right now. 417
national parks.
No, there's not.
There's only how many of those?
So, well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Here we go. So, of all of these sites, these include 129 historical parks and sites.
Okay.
So what's a historical park? What's
a historical park, an example of that would be Abe Lincoln's birthplace, which is in Kentucky.
Great. And then a historical site?
The historical site would be, there's a monument to it now. It's called Manzanar, and it's in California. And in World War II, when the United States decided it was a good idea to intern all the Japanese American citizens.
Yeah.
It is probably a dark day in history. Definitely a stain.
Yeah.
But
stain.
That's the memorial site, and that's in California for
yes.
that.
Then there are 87 national monuments.
Right.
Now, a national monument is sort of like, sometimes things are national monuments and then they become national parks.
This is true. Yeah.
That can happen. Sometimes things are state parks and then they become national parks.
Right.
The goal is not to be a national park. It's
right.
not like that's your, you know, your
it's
Broadway
America's
show.
It's America's next top national park.
Right, exactly. But if it is just in the best interest of that area,
right.
whatever is in the best interest of the thing you're trying to preserve will determine the designation.
Right, right, right.
But a national monument, for example, is
the Devil's Tower, which was in Wyoming and was created by or under Teddy Roosevelt. We also have sites like the Statue of Liberty, which is in New York, New Jersey Harbor.
Also Stonewall Inn.
Stonewall Inn.
Down in the West Village
yep.
is considered a national monument now. Thank you, Barack Obama.
Grand Staircase.
Very close to Grand Staircase when we were in Utah.
Yep. Which has been downsized.
It has been downsized.
Within the last year or so.
It has.
Yeah. all those things.
Which is sad. In addition to that, there are 59 national parks. Now, I will say, some people will say that there are 60. And I tried to figure out what the discrepancy was between 59 and 60, mm-hmm. but I could not really find a solid answer.
Okay.
So we do know there's at least 59.
Right.
And these are the parks that we're hiking through,
right.
that we're talking about.
That we've collectively
Acadia,
been to 15
Yosemite,
of.
Acadia, Yosemite, yep. Yellowstone.
Not there yet.
But we
soon.
Haven't gone there yet.
Yeah.
I'm just naming
yeah, just
some
naming
of them.
Names. You're name dropping right now is what you're doing.
Right.
I know Yellowstone, and girl, she is wonderful, is basically what you just
that
said.
That is what I did.
Mm-hmm.
There are 30 national memorials.
Yeah.
What is that?
So a national memorial is something that's used to commemorate a specific event. So,
and it uses space to do that.
Yep, uses space to do that. So the 9/11 memorial in New York City. There's also the Korean War Veterans Memorial, which is in D.C. Amongst, you know, those were just a drop in the bucket of the national memorials that we
right.
have in the country.
There are also 25 battlefields or military parks.
So Gettysburg would be an example of a battlefield or a military park.
Yeah.
I know that Arlington is a national memorial park as well, I believe.
I think so.
It's a national cemetery, but I believe it might fall under that military park.
And then finally, we have 87 otherwise designated national park units.
So something like that would be the Trail of Tears, which is an actual like memorial trail, essentially.
Yeah, and
again,
it is
another dark stain on the history of our country.
And it is operated by the National Park Service.
And it goes through Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Tennessee.
Also, Sandy Hook Beach in New Jersey would fall under this designation because it is a national historic... No, I'm sorry. It is a national recreation area.
Right. And there's national seashores, too, which I'm
yes.
sure that probably factors into.
It does.
Big Sur, I believe, in California is a national seashore.
So NPS also helps to serve as administrator over some affiliated sites, including... National Register of Historic Places, mm. National Heritage Areas, National Wild and Scenic Rivers, National Historic Landmarks.
Got it.
And National Trails.
Okay.
Additionally, the NPS staff work with communities across the nation to help preserve local history and create close-to-home recreational opportunities. So all of this information that we're bringing to you is directly from the National Park Service.
Right.
This is from their website. This is from a document called Bureau Highlights. In 2016, over 324 million people visited national parks, which broke all previous visitation records. Also, there are over 23,000 individual full and part-time employees and 440,000 volunteers
wow.
who work with the National Park Service. The workforce of NPS is made up of archaeologists, engineers, curators, biologists, hydrologists, historians, law enforcement officers, landscape architects, and many other disciplines. Hmm. I'd also throw in artists because they have resident
yeah.
artists who
yeah.
Stay there. And they collaborate with tribes, states, local governments, nonprofits, and historic property owners who share in preserving the nation's shared heritage.
It's like a team of made up
it
of
is.
Like wonderful professions.
And you get to work with so many. It's sort of like the big giant common
right.
thing that
right.
like brings people together, which is what I feel like our natural world
right.
is.
Right,
right.
I feel like it's you know,
reflective of that.
Captain Planet's ragtag team here.
Kind of. It gets me very excited.
Mm-hmm.
The budget of the National Park Service goes to a lot of things, but just to give you like an overview of like what they use this money for. They use it for recreation and preservation, including historic preservation and also natural preservation. Also, they use it for construction, land acquisition, state assistance. Actually, Congaree National Park, that we'll be talking about very soon on the podcast, actually just got bigger when I
Great.
Called down and talked to them. They had acquired more land, and so their national park got even
and
bigger.
And they actually started as a national monument, correct me
they
if I'm
did.
Wrong.
They did. They did. Yes,
yeah.
they were a national monument
yeah.
first.
Somehow they eked it out.
And then they also, money they receive from when you pay a national park, they mm-hmm. take that money and they use it for a number of things.
Okay. Like you mean when you like buy admission?
When you buy admission.
What about if you buy stuff in the gift shop?
So the gift shop is...
At like a visitor center, I should say.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. A lot of the... Like that merchandise that you're buying at a gift shop is not created specifically by the National Park System. Though I'm sure
they have
some of it. It's outsourced. Mm-hmm. So like... If you're buying it at a national park visitor center, yes, some of that money is going directly back to the national park.
That's good.
What I was curious about is like, if I pay money to get into, say, Acadia, mm-hmm. does all of that money stay in Acadia or is it shared across the board? And it's is shared across
the board. It's like splitting tips.
It is kind of like splitting tips. Yeah. So in revenue, the National Park Service estimates that in 2018, it would collect about $259.5 million in revenue from just people visiting.
Wow.
And that's great.
That is great.
Because that is all money going right back to our natural land. So we just wanted to give everybody sort of a general overview of like, what is the scope of the work of the National Park System?
Right.
So let's return now to the government shutdown.
Great.
And this does affect the National Park Service.
Oh, yeah.
As an agency of the Department of Interior.
And typically, unfortunately, because it's a non-essential service, when you really think about it in the broader sense of what essential services are, national parks tend to be one of the first things to...
So if you visit any of the national park websites or nps.gov, you will see that message at the top of the screen. And it said, if you go to doi.gov/shutdown, you'll get more information. So we did, and it gives you the National Park Service contingency plan as of January 2018. Mm-hmm. So this was created last January as like, this is the plan if there is a government shutdown.
Effective immediately upon a lapse in appropriations, the National Park Service will take all necessary steps to suspend all activities and secure national park facilities that operate using appropriations that are now lapsed, except for those that are essential to respond to emergencies involving the safety of human life or the protection of property. Parks must notify visitors that road maintenance, including plowing, campground reservations, and check-in/check-out services, backcountry, and other permits and public information. National and regional offices and support centers will be closed and secured except where they are needed to support accepted personnel. And that's accepted, E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D. These steps will be diligently carried out while still ensuring visitor and employee safety, as well as the integrity of park resources. So basically, to surmise, that's saying that really only the most essential personnel.
Very essential.
Very essential. There are some exceptions to that, depending on appropriated monies that may have been in the budget or that may be carryover from several years, depending on like projects that may be special. Running as if it's an essential project, those people will also be included. It also includes potential outside vendors. So for example, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying this is the case. If there was a McDonald's that was operating inside the parameters of Grand Canyon National Park, that because it's its own third party private entity, they could still remain open. However, whatever services the parks provide are not necessarily going to be running, like trash collection.
Yeah,
and things like that.
Right.
So there are some things that people have to be aware of. So some other things to be aware of. There is a main office in Washington, D.C. So there is a headquarters, NPS headquarters. So key NPS leaders will be there, as well as the bare minimum number of employees that they need to staff the main office. But there are also seven regional offices that play a key role in basically disseminating this information and making sure that the parks that are within those regions are shuttered and the basically correct steps are taken during a shutdown, as well as any other time, whatever they may need to do.
Something else that this document stated was that if say like a state government or some sort of third party entity wanted to like cover the costs of the National Park Service employees for the time during the shutdown, it could only be for a period of up to 3 days, and they would have to have a licensing agreement that would go through headquarters. Right. Which I would imagine would, like, if you had a special event that was during a government shutdown that would require National Park Service employees, like, then, you know, maybe there's a way to do that. Like, that would be the sort of, like, that would be the road that they would have to go up down.
And just so you know, you are aware, this document, which we're utilizing a lot of information from, this was put in place in January of this past 2018 because there was a shutdown that was pretty imminent at the beginning of the year. And Dusty kind of mentioned that, but there actually have been three government shutdowns during the year 2018. So January 20th to January 22nd. So it was Saturday, the government shut down on the 20th, and it ended on the evening of Monday, the 22nd. So that was a relatively short shutdown. There was another funding gap, basically, that caused the government to shut down on February 9th, but that was only for 9 hours overnight, and so it really didn't affect any essential services. And then, obviously, here we are faced with our third and final, because it's unlikely for it to be resolved before the year is out. And
I don't think the Democrats are going to even budge until they can, like, approach this with a House majority.
Yeah.
What does this mean for visitors to national parks? First thing to note is that park roads, lookouts, trails, and open-air memorials will generally remain accessible to visitors, but there will be no NPS-provided visitor services, including restrooms, trash collection, facilities, road maintenance, including snow plowing. No visitor centers are going to be open. That's what that's telling me.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's talk about this, because we've kind of experienced all of these things on our journeys. So no visitor centers open.
No, so you can't really figure out.
See, you know, what you need to do, what the best trails are, what trails are even open, because guess what? Social media and their websites, as Dusty was saying,
also
are not being operated during this time.
So you cannot get updates because people can't get up there to find out because they're not being paid.
Right. And having a visitor center is essential. Every park that we have gone to, we at least go to the visitor center on our first day.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we'll make a second trip if we need to. Bathrooms. We have had to use our natural surroundings as our bathroom. And listen,
many times.
Sometimes that is just the way of the world when you're hiking.
Well, and the truth is that a lot of the bathrooms in a lot of the national parks we've been to are earth toilets.
Right.
Which means, like, it's like the outer cover of a toilet, but really it is a hole in the ground. But
right.
That hole in the ground has, like, chemicals inside of it so that, one, it doesn't smell like a hole in the ground where
filled with feces.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you for taking it there.
No problem. And those are all managed.
Right.
They're all managed by, and they're kept clean by NPS. And then most visitor centers will have bathrooms with plumbing.
Yep.
And, but it could very likely be that all those restrooms are locked.
Right.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, speaking of things that are locked, this is, the next point they make. As a general rule, if a facility or area is locked or secured during non-business hours, such as buildings, gated parking lots, it should be locked or secured during the duration of the shutdown.
Right.
So that's that.
Yeah. And that will actually affect a great deal of anybody that's planning on camping. During a shutdown, the NPS basically is not operating the campgrounds. That includes maintenance, janitorial, bathrooms, showers, check-in and check-out reservations. Then the only thing is that visitors that are already in those campgrounds are not asked to leave, but basically are advised that no services are available. There is no guarantee if, let's say, you have something booked for this week at a campsite, that because of the shutdown, anyone will be there to receive you, that the site will even be ready, that it's even advisable for you to try to attempt to go to that site.
Also, some campgrounds are, like, have gates that are locked.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know, you know, it might be that person might have left the gate unlocked, or they might have locked. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows? Like, each campground in each park is different.
Right.
But that's the way it goes.
Also, plowed roads.
Hello.
We really had to deal with that for the first time this past trip, and it really impacted, even though it didn't impact it, but it was a hindrance for us when we were in the Smokies, because the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a major byway between Gatlinburg and the south side of the Smokies, was totally closed. So that was a stoppage for a lot of people, and it was closed because there was snow and ice on the road, and they were plowing and clearing trees and doing things of that nature. That's not happening. So especially if you have a major thoroughfare that's going through a park, that's a big problem because it becomes a safety issue. Now, because it's a big highway, I don't know if this would be the case, that maybe the state government might step in there because it's such a thoroughfare.
Yeah.
But if it's like just a park road, like you're inside arches and you know, that needs to be plowed, which is probably not the case, but mm-hmm. you're inside a park that needs to be plowed.
Probably
not. If it's
not
like a major highway, then it's probably not going to happen. Yep. Like, you're out of luck there.
A lot of the National Park Service employees are furloughed right now, which mm-hmm. means they're either not working or they're working and not being paid, mm-hmm. which is such a shame. No one should ever have to work and not be mm-hmm. paid. But one of the things they advise here is that any work or enforcement actions should be reactive rather than proactive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they're saying to the employees. So parks should not take measures to keep visitors out of an area unless access presents a serious or imminent threat to human life, safety, or health, or a serious and imminent threat to the condition of a sensitive natural or cultural resource. I think this breakdown of numbers is important to understand. So the total number of National Park Service employees that there are is right now 24,681.
Okay.
Of those employees, this is the number that are deemed essential, which is 3,298.
So about 2,100 people are furloughed.
No, 21,000.
Sorry.
Girl. Right.
Math.
So the amount So the number of employees that will be furloughed is 21,383. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. A
lot of people to be furloughed. The other thing is that there is a world in which, because they also say that all employees who do work, the very limited number of hours they are given should keep a log of that. But for example, if there are typically like five people mm-hmm. with the same job description, they might keep one of them and deem one of them essential, but then they could rotate them.
Got it.
During this furlough time. And so like then so you would all keep a log and, yeah. of hours so that they all sort of get paid at
Got
some
it.
Point, some amount. And while, yes, there are 21,000 and change people who work for the National Park Service who are being furloughed, in total, there are 800,000 people who are affected by this government shutdown who are being furloughed from their jobs.
Yeah. So it is an issue that we hope is resolved sooner than later for
yes.
a variety of reasons, but mostly so these people can
get back to work
and be paid. It's a tough time of year. This is like the holidays just happened. You know, not everybody is spending tons of money on the holidays. Not everybody's celebrating the holidays, but it is an expensive time of year typically. And it's really unfortunate that this is the situation we find ourselves in. I do know just from some things that I'd listened to on the news that most of the times there is a retroactive pay bill that Congress will pass.
Hopefully that will happen.
That will happen for any of those furloughed workers that are still like working so that that payment does come through. I know that like contract employees though, I did hear this, typically that bill is not like...
That doesn't cover them.
So there are, you know, as always with any government, and especially with ours, there are always things that can be done better and hopefully can be resolved sooner than later.
Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. So, Mike, after last week's giving and receiving episode where we created our own
holiday movie,
Hallmark holiday film called The Christmas Rose, I did look up, and lo and behold, there is the Hallmark movie called A Rose for Christmas.
Shut up. That is
and
not true.
Hold on, I'm going to tell
you. Wait, is the plot?
Hold
exactly,
on, I'm going to read you the plot.
Did we incept this plot?
I don't think so. It's close, but Andy is the passionate artist whose family has been building rose parade floats for generations. When her dad gets sick, Andy is forced to take the helm and supervise the construction and decoration of their client's float. And to make matters worse, she's saddled with the extra challenge of dealing with a demanding businessman whose company commissioned the float.
Oh, so sparks fly there. Right?
Maybe.
Obviously.
And there's a photo
of her and some
two
dude.
Very attractive white people standing next to each other. She's smiling and he's brooding.
A Rose for Christmas.
It does. It stars Rachel Boston and Mark Ben David. Oh. People I've not heard of.
No.
But they're
good
in
for
that
them,
movie.
Doing work. I think our movie was better.
I want to see our movie. I really do.
A Christmas Rose.
So, since we're wrapping up the holidays and speaking of holiday movies, we're going to play top three. Mike, what is your top three holiday movies?
Okay. I mean, I feel like order here is, it's hard for me to put them in an order.
No, you don't have to.
Great. So
it's
ready?
Just
I'm
three
just firing
general.
Them off. The Holiday.
Oh my God, stop.
The Holiday. Not to be confused with The Last Holiday, which is also...
It's great.
It's kind of a Christmas movie.
But we're talking about
Cameron Diaz, Jude Law, Kate Winslet, Jack Black, all them people.
Nancy Myers.
Yeah, it's just
Nancy Myers at her best.
No, yeah. The Holiday, it holds a very, very special place in my heart.
Great.
And I haven't watched it yet this year, but I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix and I need to get on that. And just cozy up with some tea and
perfect.
Under a blanket and pretend I'm Nancy Myers.
There you go.
Number two, The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Oh.
So I love...
This is claymation.
This is where we're introduced to the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser.
Okay.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun. Ba-da-da-da. So, every episode, guys. So that's a great... claymation. It's where Santa's like, you know what, I'm sick and I'm tired of doing this thing. But then everything comes to pass where he gets a letter from a little girl and she
it's
sings
her name Virginia
and she sings Blue Christmas. It's Blue
oh,
Christmas comes
right.
in to this.
I have a blue
right.
Christmas.
So and it's like
without
you,
you
know, it touches him in a way where he's like, I need to still do this. Mm. So what a roller coaster ride of emotion.
Okay, great. And,
my last film is a film that was such a bait and switch and was billed as a comedy, but just tugged at your heartstrings and made you want Diane Keaton for a mom and hope that she didn't die of breast cancer. And that is The Family Stone.
What a film
that What a was. Film that was so many things that
there were a
one
lot
did
of
not
things
expect.
In that film. Mm-hmm. We could do an entire episode just about that film.
Oh, yeah.
Dissecting I only saw it. That film once, but I remember I went and saw it with my mom thinking it was mm-hmm. going to be a family-filled mm-hmm. holiday, mm-hmm. like, beautiful comedy movie.
Right. Nope. Lies.
No. No. Quickly, very much no.
Right. You know what I really want to have happen? This would be, like, the best wish for this year, is if the folks at How Did This Get Made, the podcast, did the Family Stone.
Shout out to How Did This Get Made.
How Did This
we
Get Made.
We love you guys. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, they should do a Family
Stone
episode.
They should do a Family
Stone
episode.
Please,
yeah.
Please.
I just listened to their episode on Adore, that movie with Naomi Watts and mm-hmm. Robin Wright, where they sleep with each other's sons. And
I know
it was
that movie.
Top notch. What a great episode. So yeah, so I volley to you, friend. What are your top three?
Well, let me just say this.
Movies?
You know how I know we're both gay? Because my top three is also The Holiday.
That's right.
I am not kidding you. God, I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, and I am, you know.
You know what? Kate Winslet's cottage. I would just live there
for
days.
Oh, my God. I wanted to live in her cottage so badly.
That's very euphemistic.
I have to say.
I wanted to live in her cottage.
I come real hard for Nancy Meyers movies mm-hmm. because, like, it's always white people.
It's whitewashed.
And
it
it's whitewashed. And they're always wearing white. And it's always very, very privileged people. And it's like the problems of privileged white America. But I do love The Holiday.
John Krasinski's in The Holiday,
he
too.
Is
and
briefly.
What is her name? She is Catherine Hahn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's in it,
great.
Too. She's
great,
great
little
too.
Cameos.
It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I
cameo,
do love that movie.
Our favorite drag
Every
queen.
Time, cameo.
Cameo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cameo role.
Cameo
that's her
role,
name.
Yeah.
So, but every time I don't make pasta for myself a lot these days, mm-hmm. but if I make fettuccine, I'll go, do you want some Christmas fettuccine? Because it's from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is a made-for-TV Christmas movie that I am obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
From the early aughts.
Is it Lifetime?
No.
Oh.
It was VH1.
Oh.
And it's called A Diva's Christmas
That's
Carol,
right.
starring Vanessa Williams.
Oh, you bring a great point with
I am
Christmas Carol.
I am obsessed with her. A Christmas Carol is, I do love that story. I think it is
also,
a great
Christmas
story.
Christmas Carol is a great drag name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if, well, her name would be, I don't know.
Okay.
Christmas isn't really a name. Okay, hold on. I do have to say,
yeah.
I'm not kidding you when I say this. My mother went to school with a girl who was born on December the 25th,
mm-hmm.
whose family's last name was Christmas.
Wow.
And they named her Merry Christmas. And they
oh,
spelled
Mary.
It M-E-R-R-Y.
Of course they did.
Of course they did.
Jesus.
But anyway, I do love A Diva's Christmas Carol. Right. It's just like Vanessa Williams being like super fierce and
right.
learning her lesson. And it's got great like all the Christmas music you could imagine.
Right.
And she's doing a holiday concert. And it's like all of her staff wants to be home with their family. But she's
Is this
like,
where
no.
she's named Abby? Is this?
No. Not to be confused with another
there are so
Christmas
many iterations of
Carol
a Christmas Carol
film from the 90s called Abby starring Susan Lucci,
right.
which is also very, very,
also,
very good.
I'm going to jump on this bandwagon for a second. Let's talk about A Muppet Christmas because
I'm going to stop you right there because my third movie is The Muppets Christmas Carol.
You I totally forgot about
soon.
It. I'm
yes.
so sorry.
I am obsessed with A Muppet's
Rizzo.
Christmas Carol.
Light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp, not the rat.
It's adorable and so well made, and it totally holds up.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Beautiful.
So, those are my favorite holiday movies.
Great. It, doesn't it make you just want to have like some tea and some Christmas fettuccine?
It does.
And hang under a blanket and just watch some movies.
And pray for the end of the government shutdown. This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and to hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
The theme song and original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan.